Hello everyone, how are you? Almost ready to go home? Yeah, welcome to the session, Migrating and Modernizing your Data Estate to Azure using our Azure Database Migration Service. My name is Raj Pochiraju, Principal Program Manager in Data Migrations team at Microsoft, and I'm primarily responsible for enabling the seamless migrations to Azure using our tools and services. I have my colleague here, Shamik. Do you want to go ahead? And
sure. I'm Shamik. I work on the same team as him. I'm also a program manager. I work specifically on competitive database migrations, so essentially Oracle to SQL Server, Sybase to SQL Server, DBT to SQL Server.
Thank you.
Yeah. Before we start, I would like to understand the motivation in the room, because this is not a full crowd. There are a few of you. What brings you here to the session, and what are your immediate needs? I can take two such, yeah? Okay, so he's here for on-prem DB2 to SQL Warehouse. And do you have DB2 and other databases, or is just DB2 that you're?
Yeah, we have mostly SQL Server.
Mostly SQL Server.
Yeah, trying to get those applications up to Azure.
Oh, all right.
There's a one-off application based on DB2 that we need to get data, just raw data, into our SQL-based data warehouse as well.
Okay.
Sounds good. I think you are in the right session. So let me spend a minute to go with the session flow. At first, what we're going to be talking about, what is the future hold for cloud migrations? Basically, why do we care about cloud migrations, and why are we here to begin with, right? That's what we're going to be talking about at first. And then, once we convince that we need to talk about cloud migrations, then we're going to talk about what it really takes to migrate to cloud. And towards the middle of the session, we're going to show a lot of the demos. This session is very demo-centric. We got at least four demos, migrating from on-premises SQL Server to, various Azure data platforms, SQL DB, managed instance, migrating from Oracle to managed instance. These are the demos are lined up for you. So let's get on to the content a little bit here. So what is the real future for cloud, actually? So if you look at what Microsoft, we strongly believe that 2018 is the strongest year for cloud migrations. The reason that why we think that is, if you look at Gartner's report, they projected 37% of growth rate for the infrastructure as a service in the cloud. And they're also predicting around 30% of the compound annual growth rate for next 5 years for customers to migrate to the IaaS, infrastructure as a service. And there is always going to be a lot of business pressure for businesses to adapt to the cloud, to get a competitive advantage, to migrate to the cloud, and to show the differentiation between their competitors. And if you look at the PaaS environment, platform as a service, there is expected to be a significant reduction in managing your applications, and as well as the deploying the new applications. So if you look at the top initiatives to migrate to the cloud is basically customers want to migrate to cloud or adapt to the cloud to reduce both the operational cost and as well as the capital investments. And moving to the cloud is one of the initiatives that a lot of the CIOs thinking nowadays. So hope this data will really convince us to talk about cloud migrations. So there is never been a best time to talk about cloud migrations and migrating to the cloud. So if you really look at the actual database migration journey, which includes three major phases. One is, we call that as an assessment, and migrate, and optimize. In assessment, what we do is, basically you want to assess your entire data estate and your application stack, and really want to understand what these applications are ready to move to the cloud. That is the phase where you identify these applications that can be moved to the cloud. And at the same time, you're also going to find out the dependencies of those applications. You know, what are the dependencies of these applications if I want to move to the cloud? You know, how many databases that these applications are dependent on? All that information you will find out during the assessment phase. You will also find out how much effort it really takes to migrate these applications to the cloud. And then you actually perform the actual migration. That involves, you know, doing a small POC migration at first to see how your applications are responding from the functional standpoint of view and as well as from, you know, performance standpoint of view. So you perform the POC migrations, and then you optimize. Once you get to the cloud, you start leveraging all the built-in intelligent features of the cloud and the security features of the cloud to really optimize your environment and increase the efficiencies of your applications. But these are the three major phases that we see that our enterprise customers go through when they talk about the cloud migrations. And in this session, we're primarily focusing on the migrate piece, and especially we are going to be focusing on database migration piece. So if you look at these migration phase, there are four approaches that most of these customers are taking. One of them is rehost. Rehost is essentially nothing but lift and shift of your applications and as well as the data components as they are to the cloud with zero to very minimal application code changes. That is lift and shift. And the refactor, where, you know, this is the place where it comes, you know, containerizing your applications to get or gain more agility and as well as to make your applications more portable. You do the refactor, containerizing the applications and all that. That might require a little bit of the code changes. I don't expect really significant code changes when it comes to the refactor. And when it comes to the re-architect, you know, modularizing your applications to smaller components to better scale and as well as to define the high availability configurations for those components, you know, you might want to re-architect your applications. That requires significant of code changes in your applications. And to the end, there are cases where you might end up with completely rebuilding or rewriting your application code. For example, if you are migrating, Shamik is going to show you how to migrate from our applications that are, you know, hosted on Oracle environment to managed instance in Azure. Those kind of applications might require significant rewrite and rebuilding the applications effort. So these are the four major efforts that we think that that requires the to make the migration journey successful. So again, to reiterate, our main focus is mainly on the migration piece. Especially, we are going to be focusing more on the database migrations. And then that's where the Azure Database Migration Service is going to really play a significant role and help you to migrate on-premises workloads to the Azure database platforms. We released Azure Database Migration Service on Monday for general availability. Basically, Azure Database Migration is a native-born cloud service which provides a seamless migration experience from your on-premises workloads to the Azure data platforms. It supports migrating from both homogeneous platforms such as SQL Server, starting from SQL Server 2005 to all the way 2017 to cloud. And it also supports migrating from heterogeneous platforms such as Oracle DB2, Sybase. You can migrate from those platforms to the Azure database platforms. And the Azure database migration service also facilitates the scale migrations. Think about a scenario like when we talk to a lot of these customers, they want to migrate from the data centers. Their data center lease is expiring, and there is an urgent need for them to migrate all their data estate to cloud. And that is the time where, you know, scale migrations are going to play a pretty vital role. And Azure Database Migration Service and the tools around the Azure Database Migration Service will really help to perform those kind of scale migrations for us. And Data Migration Service, which I'm going to show you in a couple of demos as well, it's pretty easy to orchestrate your database migrations in the form of migration projects, where you can group together, you know, one or more databases into a project where your applications are dependent on, and you can move those databases together to the cloud. And it also, yeah, go ahead.
Sorry, to augment what Raj just mentioned, I think for full disclosure, Microsoft for the past decade has had on-premises tools that facilitate migrations of databases, be it the SQL Server Migration Assistant or the Database Upgrade Advisor, now called Database Migration Assistant. We've had these for years, but every time customers have had to build custom migration factories around those applications by using command line and whatnot. And as soon as we started this whole journey for cloud migrations, we decided, yep, hey, let's offer a service as well for our customers so that they don't have to cook up a migration application on their side. They should be able to leverage our service, which can scale and provide the benefit for you guys.
So this becomes a single place where you can, it's going to meet all your migration needs, whether it could be an assessment or whether it could be a migration or it could be a post-migration validations. You know, for everything of those kind of a needs, you can come to the Azure Database Migration Service and perform all those activities. Right? Just to go a little bit deeper into, you know, how the Azure Database Migration Service can be configured. As you see here, you have your on-premises network where you can have your bunch of the, you know, wide variety of data sources such as, you know, SQL Server, Oracle, MySQL, Postgres. You can have any kind of these data sources on your on-premises. And we have a supplementary tools called SSMA, which is SQL Server Migration Assistant, and as well as Data Migration Assistant. How many people have seen Data Migration Assistant tool? Thank you. So there is this tool is originally released in 2016 August timeframe, which is a desktop tool which really helps you to assess your on-premises databases and find out how ready those databases are ready move to the cloud, and how much effort it really requires to migrate those databases to the cloud. It will give you a comprehensive report, and if there are any migration blockers that the tool identifies, it also gives you the remediations for those migration blockers as well. Very comprehensive report it generates, and then a lot of customers are benefited out of it. It also, people use it to migrate from or upgrade from the legacy SQL Server versions from 2005 to 2017 using our tool, the DMA, which is Data Migration Assistant. And we have seen around 20,000 databases are migrated so far using DMA tool. The same thing with SSMA. If you are trying to migrate from Oracle to SQL DB, SSMA will really help you to do the code conversions that are compatible with the Azure platform. So those tools are going to continue to work. They continue to be desktop tools, and they are also going to be integrated tightly with the Azure Database Migration Service to have a seamless experience for you. And you have your Azure network, cloud network, where you provision your Azure Database Migration Service so that you can start migrating from on-premises to the various targets, the Azure targets, such as the Azure Database Manager instance, and then the Azure Database for Postgres, Azure Database. You can perform both homogeneous and as well as heterogeneous migrations. And one requirement here is that when you configure the Azure Database Migration Service, we need to make sure that we have a site-to-site connectivity between your on-premises and then the cloud using either it could be a VPN connection or it could be an express route. Right? So that's about the Azure Database Migration Service overview. Now, I want to get on to the demos and show you how to perform a lift and shift migration. We talked about migration phases, right, or migration approaches, where the very first one we talked about is lift and shift, where is rehosting. And I'm going to demonstrate how that migration can be achieved using our Azure Database Migration Service today. So for that reason, I'm going to switch my monitor here to my demo environment. Okay, sounds good. And what I'm going to do is I'm going to show the Stack Overflow application, which is currently hosting in on-premises environment. To show you here is the Stack Overflow. How many guys use Stack Overflow? I think almost everybody.
You should not,
right,
ask that question.
I shouldn't be asking that question, actually. Yeah. So the Stack Overflow uses a couple of databases. One is SiteCE, and there is another database it uses as well. What we are going to be doing is this application is right now connected to a on-premises SQL Server instance, which is running on Microsoft SQL Server 2016. What we are going to do is we are going to migrate these two databases to the manager instance, Azure SQL DB manager instance. And all we are going to do is we are going to change the connection string of Stack Overflow application, and we try to reconnect it. And then we'll see how the Stack Overflow application is going to start functioning without making any code changes except the connection string change connecting to the target managed instance databases.
Before we throw names here, do all of you know what a managed instance is, a SQL Server managed instance? You've all heard of Azure SQL Database, but managed instance is an offering that provides you similar capabilities that you could get on an on-prem.
Yep, we're going to talk about that.
Otherwise, we're limited in Azure SQL DB.
Yep, so I'm going to talk about that as well. So here,
sure.
This is the DMA tool I talked about. You can use the Data Migration Assistant tool to perform the assessment to see what effort it is required to migrate your databases to the cloud. So I'm using the DMA tool to perform the assessment at first. So this is publicly available. You can go to Microsoft Download Center and look for DMA tool. You can publicly download and then you can start using in your environment as well. For that reason, what we do is the very first thing is you create a project. When you create a project, there are two options provided here. One is the assessment option, one is the migration option. The first thing that I wanted to do is I want to perform an assessment. So I'm going to give a name, a project name for the assessment, my test assessment. And then my source type is SQL Server because I'm migrating from SQL Server, and my target type is Azure SQL DB. At first, I wanted to see if I can migrate to Azure SQL Server database. So you create a project. Once you create a project, you provide the source server name, and as well as the, or you choose a couple of these options first of all. One is the check database compatibility, and the other option is feature parity. Let me explain a little bit on this. The check database compatibility means is, are there any objects like stored procedures or triggers or views exist in your system that may not compatible with Azure SQL DB? They might have some syntax issues that are not supported on the Azure SQL DB. Those objects that needs to be fixed before you migrate your schema, right? So you will get all that report by choosing this option. And there is another option here, feature parity. So if there are any features outside of your database that you are using it, for example, if you are dependent on SQL agent jobs, if your application is heavily dependent on SQL agent jobs or SSAS packages, some of those features might not be supported on the Azure SQL DB. Those features will be revealed as well, so that it also proposes to you what are the alternatives that you can adapt when you migrate to the cloud, right? So you can choose those two options, and then you click on the next where you provide your source server information, you connect it, and you choose your databases. So I already created an assessment here for the sake of the time, and then I'm going to go back to that assessment here. So here, the build test assessment that which I already performed before I come here, I'm going to open that assessment here. Now I'm looking at the SQL Server feature parity and as well as the compatibility issues. So when I look at the SQL feature parity, there are cross database reference queries that are being used. So if you look at a stored procedure that is stated here, at least in the database called Stack Overflow EE, there are one or more stored procedures that exist that might be using a query that references two databases. And Azure SQL Server database does not support that thing at this point. So it is kind of a migration blocker. Now, sometimes you can use elastic queries to fix those ones, the elastic tables and elastic queries when you move to Azure SQL DB. But what if you have like a bunch of those stored procedures that needs to be fixed? That is kind of engineering effect for you. Effort for you, right? So at that point, because I have these blockers, I decided that the Azure SQL DB might not be a good platform for me, and now that's where the Azure database managed instance will come into play. So managed instance is another offering, which is also a platform as a service offering, which provides a close to 100% compatibility with your on-premises SQL Server instance model, where it fully supports, well, when I say fully, at least 90% of times it supports your on-premises compatibility when you are migrating to the cloud.
And the goal is to get to full compat. As we mature that service, we are at a stage where it is as close to on-premises as possible, and we're making changes into that so that it becomes on par with our on-premise offering.
Correct. And also it provides you the virtual network isolation as well, so that you can really secure into your own tenant ring if you want to really isolate your mission critical databases using managed instance. So what I'm going to do is, so this assessment at least tells me that, you know, maybe I should consider migrating to the Azure SQL DB managed instance instead of SQL DB. So that's what I'm going to do it. So I'm going to close this assessment now because I'm pretty much done with that. So now I'm going to use the Azure Database Migration Service to perform the migration from on-premises SQL Server to managed instance. At first, when you go to portal, the portal.microsoft.azure.com, the first thing that before you do the migration, you need to provision your Azure Database Migration Service. So to do that, you can go to create a resource here. You click on that create resource, and then you look for a migration service here, and you find out there is an Azure Database Migration Service. And then the first thing is we need to provision this service, just like how you provision your SQL DB. Before you start using the service for migrations, you provision the service. And I click on that create button, where you choose the service name here. I'm going to choose build test. And then you also pick the subscription in which you want to create the service. And then I'm going to choose one of the subscriptions. There are a bunch of subscriptions that I got access to it. Specifically, I am choosing this subscription that I want to create my the Azure Database Migration Service. There are a couple of options here. Either you can create all these resources that are required for DMS into a given resource group which already exists, or you can choose to create a new resource group. So for now, I'm going to choose a new resource group here. So it's going to create a new resource group. And now here, the place where you would choose the virtual network. Basically, this virtual network is the one which provides an on-premises access depending on where your source exists. If your source exists in the on-premises, this virtual network provides an access to DMS to connect with your source so that it can do the data migration by, you know, extracting the data from the source. Or you can create a new virtual network as well. Or you can choose with the existing one.
Well, this is the most critical part of the service because you need to make sure that there is a connectivity between your on-premises and the Azure environment. And if there is none, then you'll have to work with the networking team to make sure that the network does have access to the on-prem. It can look at an on-prem database and can also access your Azure SQL DB.
Yep. And then here, you would choose the number of cores here depending on your the migration needs. There are a couple of options provided here. If you're doing a very large migration, we also gave a guidance here how to choose the right vCore depending on the size of your migrations. For example, if you're doing pretty large database migrations, you might want to go with a 4 vCore size of the DMS instance. Or if you're doing just a POC migration, 10 gig of database that you want to just migrate, maybe a 2-core DMS could be enough for you to meet your migration needs. Depending on the size of and scale of your migrations, you might want to choose the right cores for this size of the DMS instance. But we also provided you some guidance here if you want to find out that guidance here.
Well, at this point in time, it won't harm you to choose the 4V cores because we're not charging for the service. It is going to be free until June. So feel free to utilize the required cores.
And then I will click on, and then I will hit a create button. So once I create button, it's going to validate all the inputs that that you provided, and then it will create a service for us. And for the sake of time, it will usually takes around 8 to 10 minutes to create the service, to provision all the resources that are required for the migration to happen. So I'm not going to really create it. I'm going to just use the existing service that I already created for this demo. So I'm going to close that window. I'm going to close this window as well. And then I'm going to go back to my notes here to get the DMS service. By the way, we call Azure Database Migration Service as a DMS service as an abbreviation or a shortcut. So I'm going to go type this URL where I can directly go to my service that I created here. So this is the build demo is my service. And then there are a couple of projects that I already created here. So remember we talked about DMS will really help you to orchestrate your migration needs, where you can create multiple projects and combine multiple databases into a single project where there is a need that all these databases needs to be migrated together. So you click on a new migration project here, you provide the project name, and then you also tell the source type, I want to migrate from SQL Server to, there are three options provided here, Azure SQL Database Manager Instance, Azure SQL Database, and Azure SQL Virtual Machine. You can go to either of these three platforms that you want to migrate, because our assessment tells us that I want to migrate it to Azure Database Manager Instance, so I'm going to choose that one, and I'm going to create the project here. Once I create that project, it will ask the source information, which we need to provide the name of the SQL Server instance here, and also provide the specific authentication type that you want DMS service to use. We support both Windows authentication and as well as the SQL authentication. And then you provide the username and password, and you choose your encryption options as well. The next step is, once you hit the save button, it will go and then try to connect to the source and pull all the databases that are available on the source SQL Server instance. And you can choose the specific databases that you want to migrate from that list. And then the next step is you would select your target as well. In the target, you will provide the Azure SQL DB Manager instance name, and you also provide the credentials, just like the way that you provided credentials to the source server. And then at the end, summary, you just validate all the data that you provided so that it will, a project is created. Once the project is created, you haven't really done the migration yet. You just only created the project. The next step is to do the actual migration. So I'm going to use the existing project. I already created a project. So I'm going to close this project. Though I'm not going to use this project, because I created a project, you will see that project list here. But this is the project that I already created, which is build SQL to SQL MI. And then because I haven't really performed the migrations yet, it shows that I don't have any activities. I'm ready to create the very first activity that I can use to migrate the data. So I'm going to click on that activity here. I'm going to choose run migration. And now it is asking for the password. Remember, when we create a project, we provide the source information and all that. So it's pulled from that project already. The only thing is we need to enter the password here, because we don't really store the passwords for the security reasons. So I enter the password here. Now it is trying to reconnect to the source instance and trying to pull out all the databases and other metadata that we required to perform a successful migration. Now this is the manager instance that I already pre-provisioned that I provided during my project creation. So it's pulled that information as well. And I choose SQL authentication. And then I'm going to give the user ID and password as well here. I save that. And then the next step is, again, it is trying to connect to the target, and it pulled the databases from the source. These are the two databases that the Stack Overflow uses that I'm going to migrate to manager instance. So I select those two databases. So this is where the scale migrations will come. If you want to migrate multiple databases from the same instance, you can select all those databases as well at a single time so that you can migrate the entire SQL Server instance. Now there are a bunch of options here. Let me go through one at a time. This is a screen that I would call that most complex screen in our migration workflow. The very first thing is we're asking for a network location where we can keep the backup files. So when it comes to SQL to SQL database manager instance migrations, we use backup and restore technology. So you can take a backup from an on-premises and you can restore onto the target manager instance server. So for that reason, we're asking a network share that we can use that the source SQL server can take a backup and then put those backup files into that share intermittently, right? So for that, there is a requirement. We got a KB article that we wrote, how to create that share and what permissions that it is required. And before I go there, actually, I wanted to, Shamik is talking about the very critical component when we create the DMS instance is the network, right? So I want to go through the topology document that we created as well I come back to the migration, but I want to talk about this one as well. So depending on how your on-premises network is configured and how your manager instance is configured, there are a bunch of topologies that you can consider to configure the DMS service so that it can be able to connect both source and targets. So the, for this demo, what the configuration that I am using is this configuration, where my DMS service and as well as my source are sitting in the same subnet. And then the manager instance is sitting in a different subnet. Remember, we talked about the manager instance will give an ability to isolate the instance from rest of the other network, right? The way we can do is we can have a dedicated subnet for manager instance, and then we can keep that manager instance in that subnet. No other resources can be placed in that subnet except the manager instance. That way it is being isolated. But I can use the same VNet and create a different subnet where I can put my DMS instance into that subnet. This is a detailed document how you can really configure the DMS instance for the manager instance migrations. You can read through offline, and then if you have any questions, please let us know. I want to quickly go through with that because we are going to be talking about that here a little bit. So I'm going to provide a network share here. I'm going to go to my notes again to pull that network share here. This is the network share that I created. I created it on the same source server. I provided an IP address. Here you can do two things. You can use IP address, or you can use fully qualified domain name as well when it comes to the server, if the share is created on the server, right? If there is no DNS resolution is possible, at that point you're going to use the IP address. So for this demo, I used the IP address, and I also gave a share here. And then now I need to, once I have a network share and if it takes the backup, what the DMS service will do is DMS service will copy those backup files from that network share to Azure storage. From there, it will restore on to the target manager instance. For that reason, we also need to provide a SAS key, which includes the Azure storage account name, and as well as the container where these backup files can go, and then also the permissions required for the DMS to be able to copy the files to that Azure storage. So I already created the SAS key for us for this demo. Let me go back here. So this is my SAS key. I'm going to go all the way to the end and copy it. So if you want to understand how to create that SAS key, we already provided a link here so that it can give you a step-by-step process how to create that SAS key and what permissions that are required while you are creating that SAS key in the Azure storage. Now it comes back to here. To read from the network share, DMS will impersonate a user account that is being provided here so that it will use that account to read the files from the network share and upload to the Azure storage. So I'm going to use the Windows account that I created already, which is a local account that I created. I give that information, and then I'm also going to provide the password. And then I'm going to hit save button here. So now it is going to validate all my inputs. It will make sure that the account is valid, it has proper permissions on the network share to read the data. All those validations will be performed. Now I can simply give a activity name here, test migration or something. And then there are a couple of validation options provided here. If you want to validate after the migration, one option is that you can validate the query correctness. What we do is we take the top, 10 or 50 queries from the 10 queries from the source, which are the high resource consumer queries, and then we will replay those queries back onto the target manager instance after the migration is done, just to make sure that these queries are still functional and all that. So for the sake of time, I'm not really using the option there. I'm going to click save, and then I'm going to hit run migration. At this point, it's going to start the migration now. This is a place where you can refresh the migration to see the status of the migration as well. I'm going to refresh here. It says that there are two database migrations are in progress. You click on that, and now it is already restoring. So it has already took the backup of those databases to the network share you provided, and it already uploaded those backup files to Azure Storage, and then now it is restoring onto the target managed instance. Right, it is still restoring. While it is restoring, let's go back to our app. Remember, our app is still pointing to our source instance, right? I'm going to go back to my app. For that reason, what I'm going to do is I'm going to go to this VM where my app is running, and I'm going to close that app. I'm going to close that app. It requires a little bit of downtime at this point. And I already prepared my connection string to point to the target environment. And then I just need to re-execute this thing. I'm going to just quickly build the solution. I'm going to go back and see where my restore status is. I'm going to refresh again. One is completed already. The other database is being restored. At times, you can also look at the manager instance here. I connected to the manager instance using the Management Studio. This is the one. I'm going to just refresh this guy to see if the databases are restored. See, these databases seems already restored. There seems to be a little bit of a lag in my status to show the databases are restored. So I'm going to go back to the Visual Studio app where we already changed the connection string. Now I'm going to run this application again. Now it is trying to connect to the target managed instance. Let's give it a second here. Great. So my application is up and running. Let's see what target is really connected here. Come all the way down here. Now it is saying Microsoft Azure SQL DB Manager Instance. So in the past, it is showed as SQL, the on-premises SQL Server 2016. Now it is got connected to Manager Instance. Remember, we did not make any code changes at this point. So that's where the lift and shift migration demo ends.
Are there any questions before
any questions?
We go to
yes.
The next demo? If you don't, I have a question. What if I have existing backups? Will you have a provision in the service to restore from existing backups in the near future?
I'm sorry, can you come? Yeah, so existing backups, yes. A lot of our enterprise customers are asking to give an ability for them to take their existing backups, because a lot of these enterprise customers have disaster recovery plan in place already. As part of the disaster recovery, they take the regular backups. They take transaction log backups. They take full backups and everything. And asking for an ability that we can use those backups rather than DMS takes a backup, yes, that is definitely in a future roadmap, something that we're going to be enabling pretty soon. Sure. Yes, for...
Can you repeat the question?
So the question is there any limit to what extent that we can use the Azure Database Migration Service depending on the size of the database? Are there any options where we can copy those backup files upfront to the cloud and then do the migration from there, right? Yes. So for very large databases, such as if you have more than 2 terabytes, the service might take pretty long time. And one way to do it is we have a solution called DataBox, which is in public preview today, where you can go and order the data box. Microsoft ships the data box appliance to your data center. You just simply copy those backup files to appliance and ship it back to Microsoft. We'll copy over to the Azure. At that point, the DMS is going to pick those backup files from there and then do the restore and then also do the incremental updates. Since the files are copied, the DMS will keep track of those incremental changes and updates. That feature is coming very soon. It's not there today, but that is something that we are actually actively working on that. Good question. Go ahead. Yes, I have a demo for that. I'm going to just hold on your question. I'm going to do the demo for minimal downtime.
So the question for the audience was? The question for the audience was, for your production migrations, will you have the ability to sync your source with the target before you do the final cutover? So Raj will show you a demo that describes exactly that scenario as well.
Yep. So we saw how to migrate the databases from on-premises to managed instance. The next step is how to migrate from the on-premises to Azure SQL database, right? This time for a change, rather than doing this migration using the UI experience, I'm going to use my PowerShell commandlets to do that migration. That way you can really script out all those migration experiences and then you can really migrate hundreds of databases at the same time.
Raj, were you forced to do that because you're coming for the build demo and talking to a developer audience?
Yes, they would love it.
So we do have commandlets that allow you these migration capabilities as well.
So let me explain how the Azure DB migration works in general. Like we saw how managed instance migration work. Now let's switch the gears here. So the first thing is, remember I talked about the database migration, database assistant tool, where you can do assessment and everything. So you have your on-premises databases, Oracle and SQL. The first thing is you will use the DMA tool to do the assessment and identify the issues and fix those schema and transform that schema to compatible with Azure SQL DB using DMA. Within the DMA itself, you can do the schema changes and all that. And then you apply those changes, you deploy those changes to SQL DB. And if any objects still fail, you'll go back and fix those objects in DMA. And then you try to redeploy those objects as well. So it's kind of iterative process. You identify the issues, you fix it, you deploy it, come back to the ones failed, you do it.
So keep in mind, this is not a managed instance.
This is
Azure SQL
DB.
Database does not allow backup and restore. And that's why you have to really push the schema first and then move data over.
Yeah. So once you've done that, those fixes, then the next step is to use the Azure database migrations to service to do the actual data migration, which we are going to see in the form of PowerShell commandlets, right? So I'm going to go switch to that demo right now. Yep, so let me switch to screen 6 there. Briefly, we talked about the schema deployment, how you can use the DMA to do the schema deployment and all that, right? I'm not going to really run the or generate the script to begin with, but I'm going to just show how that experience is going to look like in DMA for the sake of the time here. So you go and then create a project. You choose the migration project this time. And then you give a project name. And then you say that source type, target type, and then this time, you just choose a schema only option here so that you can generate the schema from your source instance and identify if there are any issues with that source schema and fix it and then deploy it, come back to the Azure Database Migration Service to do the actual migration. So I did all that work for us. At this point, these are the different objects that identified in your source environment. And there are some objects that have some deprecated features, so it's going to tell you what those deprecated features are. It also, I have a bunch of stored procedures here which are marked as red. That means they have the blocking changes. That means you cannot really migrate this stored procedure without making a change to it. So it will tell you what that issue with this change is. The next step is to generate the SQL script. And before you do that, if you think that these stored procedures are legacy stored procedures and if you're not using it or if you want to really deal with these stored procedures later on, and you just want to continue with the POC migration, you can always skip all of those as well. That way, we kind of unblock you from some of these objects that might not work, right? And then the next step is to generate the SQL script, which I already did for us. So this is how you're going to look, the interface is going to look when we are done with the schema generation. And you simply, so wherever the issue exists, you can use this button to go to that specific objects that might have an issues. You can literally fix it. I'm not fixing anything here. I'm just showing you can literally fix the code here in the DMA, and then you can go on and deploy the schema.
And of course, you can choose the editor of your choice.
Right.
We just have an editor interface. You can always copy the script, open it up in Visual Studio or elsewhere, make changes, and push it back in.
Sounds good.
And for that matter, you can always take the script and deploy it even using SQL Server Data Tools as your schema deployment methodology.
Good point. There is an option here where you can save the script here. Yeah, save here so that it will give you a .SQL script. You can take that .SQL script and you can use an SSDT or whatever the mechanism that you use to maintain the source code.
Well, because most enterprises wouldn't allow any schema changes to go through unless it's source controlled, right? So using a tool to push schema, can work very well for dev tests, but maybe not for production environments. So we'd rather take the SQL, edit it in your editor of choice, and then push it through.
Good. So I deployed the schema already and made the target databases ready for us migration. I'm going to use this specific DMS service to perform the migration, but this time I'm going to use the command line options, right? Let me switch to the command line options here. I got this PowerShell script here, and the very first step is that you need to log into your Azure account. So this is the command line that you can use to log into the account. And then the next step is there are a bunch of variables that we want to set at first. We want to make sure that we set the subscription in which the DMS service is created. By the way, you can create the DMS service using the PowerShell commandlets as well. I just did not include that piece of code here in the PowerShell, but you can do everything that you could do using the UI experience using your PowerShell script. So I'm already using the existing, I provided the subscription here, and I am already having provided the resource group in which I created the DMS service, and I provided the actual DMS service name, and then I also provided the my source platform. Remember the source platform that we need to tell, whether it is SQL Server, whether you are coming from Oracle. I'm coming from SQL. This is my source name. You could use either fully qualified name or the IP address, and then the port number, the specific port that the SQL Server is connected, and then you can put your credentials here, but you know, for the sake of security, I'm going to get the credential information when I'm executing the script. And then I also provide the target information here. My target is SQL DB, and then this is the logical instance of the SQL Server database. And I have the port 1433, and again, I'm going to collect the credentials while I'm running the script. And then I want to migrate multiple databases, not one database. And then database one is inventory, and the database two is HR. I want to migrate these two databases. Then I group together these databases into another variable, which is a list variable. You can add as many number of databases you want, and then you can just add those variables into this list. Here, the table map, where you're specifically selecting which of those tables that you want to migrate from each of these databases. So I created a table map here with these are the tables that I want to migrate from the database one. And I also have another list of the tables, which is a table map two, that contains the tables that I want to migrate from the database two. And then this is the source connection. Now I'm building my source connection for the DMS to use. And I also build my target connection to use. And I'm giving a project name here at this point. Remember, we need to create a project. Either you can create a new project here, or you can use the existing project. I provided the project name here, which is Project Raj Po Build. And then my location is East US2. That's where my DMS instance is created. You provide all that information in terms of the variables. And then now you can choose the databases that you want to migrate. We talked about inventory, and as well as we talked about the other database called HR. And then now you are attaching the table list that you have chosen to migrate as well to the selected DBs list. And then you are simply executing a migration task. See how many lines it is. You know, with all the comments and everything, probably you would end up with around 100 lines of code using these PowerShell scripts to automate your migration process, right? So what I'm going to do is I'm going to execute this whole thing in a single time. I'm going to go up. I already logged into Azure. So I'm going to comment that one. I'm just going to simply run. Please save my script here. And then see, it is getting the, now remember with credentials that I did not provide, it is going to ask the credentials. So this is, the first window is the source credentials. So I got to be careful here, because if I do something mistake here, it will fail. So I'm going to be careful here a little bit. And then this is the target one.
Was it coincidental that you chose username as Airlift?
Yeah, we we recently did this demo for Airlift conference, where we have all these partners and everything came to us, and then they wanted to understand what is the migration experience that we can really go on and help our customers to do these cloud migrations, because they have seen a lot of momentum that the customers wants to migrate to Azure. I know they want to take their help to do so. So that's
I thought you would say we're lifting the databases in the air. So
well, that is also.
Yeah.
Okay.
Let's go through it.
So looks like everything looks okay. How do you find out a status? There are two ways that you can find a status. You know, it's not putting you in a dark at this point. You can use this command to find out the status of the migration tasks that you performed. I intentionally kind of marked that into comments because I want to really, you know, monitor the status of this migration that I just started using commandlets, partial commandlets, going back to the UI. So I'm going to go back to my UI here.
By the way, all of this is documented, so you should see enough examples in our documentation about it.
So this is the project that is created here. Rajpo GA test is the DMS service that I used. This is the project created here. I'm going to refresh that, and I'm going to click on that project. And then the task that I gave the name, remember the task I gave run migration as the name for the task. Now it is currently running. I can click on that. And then it is currently running here for inventory. Let's go back and look at the individual table statuses as well. So far, lot many tables seems to be completed already. Some tables are in pending. If you find any, if the service finds any failures of any of these tables, it will tell you here. When you click that specific table, it will tell you what specific error that the table encountered while migrating the data. So that's how you can really use our commandlets and CLI interfaces, the APIs that we provided, which are publicly documented. You can use and you can script your migrations to perform the bulk migrations. I have a customer who migrated 5,000 databases from their, you know, data center to Azure SQL DB using the commandlets, and then they kind of automated this whole process. They were able to do it in batches, like each time they did a 500 databases batch, they were able to do all these migrations within like a 1 month time frame. They were able to migrate all of them. They were able to meet their deadline because they had to migrate away from their data center at the point. So they were able to do that migration as well. A lot of customers are really leveraging these commandlets to automate the migration process. So that's where we have the, you know, this migration will go. You know, we don't have to wait for this migration to complete. Let's go to next set of demos that we have. Who asked the minimal downtime migration, continuous migrations, right? So this is where we have. So far we have seen a migrations which we call them as an offline migrations where it might require a downtime to actually do the migrations from the time that you start your migration. For, you know, tier two and tier three workloads, that might be okay. You might have a downtime of, you know, kind of a weekend or maybe a night downtime can be okay to do the migrations for those databases. But think about tier one applications, right? Mission critical applications where you cannot really have a whole lot of downtime. And if you want to do those migrations, we are introducing a continuous migrations. We call that as, you can also call that as a minimal downtime migrations, because there is only small interval of time where that's the time that you might want to, you know, down your applications. And currently we are doing a private preview with the minimal downtime migrations for SQL to SQL DB and SQL to managed instance as well. Let me explain how that simply works before I go to the demo. So you got your on-premises network here. Within that on-premises, you know, you got an application here which uses bunch of these databases, which references bunch of these databases out there. And now you want to migrate to cloud. You created all those databases, you deployed the schema, everything is ready to do the actual migration. And at this point, you found out, we know that at this point, you have the VPN and ExpressRoute connectivity between on-premises network and as well as the cloud network. So connectivity was taken care. And then you found out there is a Azure database migration service that will help you to do the minimal downtime migration. We set up everything. We saw how to set up the service and all that. So now we are ready to do the migration. So at this point, the very first step is, there are two stages when it comes to the minimal downtime migrations. The first stage is, the DMS will perform a full load. That means it will read all the data that exists on the source as it reads from the time that it starts the migration. We call that as a full load. So we load all those data from the, all those tables into these target databases. So the target databases are completely populated at this point, but the application is still making changes to your source environment, right? At that point, once the full load is done, the Azure Database Migration Service is going to start tracking your changes to the source databases and then keep applying those changes to the target databases. And it will continuously do that until you decide that you are ready to do the cutover. It will keep on running and start applying all those changes and everything to the target databases. When you are ready to do the cutover, the thing you need to do is make sure that the application connectivity or the no other people are referencing or any applications are not connected to your source database, and you do a cutover. When you do a cutover, we stop the migration at that point. We will drain all the transactions, whatever the transactions that are pending at that point at the source, and we apply all those transactions to it, and we will complete your migration. And we will bring a, we'll say that your database migration is complete. At that point, simply you change your connection string from your source databases to the new target databases. Your application is going to start running from there. So the only downtime that you are seeing here, when you hit the cutover button and when you do the connection string change from your source databases to the target database, that is only the time that you might encounter a downtime, right? That's how easy it is to do the minimal downtime migrations. So I'm going to switch to, yes, I want to switch to the demo quickly as well. Okay, sounds good. So this time I choose HR database to do the minimal downtime migration. So the workflow looks very similar. I'm going to go a little, so let me do this. Let me close this guy and then come here. I have a direct link that I can use. By the way, if you lost where your Azure Database Migration Service is created, you can look for that as well. Let's do that for now. So you can go to all resources here, and then you can choose the specific subscription that you created your the DMS service. So I'm going to filter down to a specific subscription that I know that I created the DMS service. And then I can also go to these types here. My type is particularly Azure Database Migration Service, so I'm going to choose that. Then you will find out all the database migration services that are created for that subscription here. The one that I'm using is, well, I need to go back to remember this because we got multiple of these demos, right? I'm going to quickly open this guy to find out. So the name that I gave is Build 2018. So I'm going to go here. I'm going to search for that here. Okay, I'm going to do filter name here. Now I can able to locate my DMS service here. As you see here, this is the project that I created already because I already established it. For the sake of time, I already established a full load. So it is continuously syncing at this point. So I'm going to click on this project here. The migration type is saying continuous, and then it is currently running. And as you see here, the database is currently running the status ready to cut over. That means it is already applied the initial load and as well as applied all the pending transactions that exist on the source environment. So it says that the full load is complete. When the full load is completed, these many records that are loaded into the target database, now it is doing the incremental data sync continuously. There are few updates that are already happened. Let's do a transaction here. So let's go back here. So basically my HR stated that they want to give a raise for all the employees, a 30% raise actually. Is it not a happy news for you guys?
I thought you would just put my name there and give me a raise.
To you only?
Yeah.
No, I'm kind of more generous. I want to give it to everybody, okay. Not just for you.
All right.
Okay. I'll give you when you're done with your demo.
All right.
Okay. So I'm going to do this transaction, right? 296 employees of my entire org got raise of 30% of their salary. Let's see. I did this in the source, by the way. Let's see if it is being reflected, if this change is reflected on the target or not. So I have a target connection which is already established here. And then if you look at here is it is connected to my target Azure SQL DB, and I'm going to run the same query here.
You want to show before and after?
Oh, yeah, before and after, I think I already done that. Maybe I need another 30% review. Yeah, look at this. Right now, the salary is, the new salary is $19. Okay, let me do this. I'm going to remove this guy here. So this, remember this name, $14, right? I'm going to give a raise here. Where are I at? I'm actually on Azure SQL DB. No, I'm good here. So here, I'm going to update again now. And then I'm going to rerun this thing to make sure that now it is $19, right? I'm going to go back to Azure here. I'm going to see the base salary. I'm going to remove this increment. Oh, it did not happen yet. Let's see. Let's go back here to see what the status here is. I'm going to refresh this guy to see if there are any incremental changes coming. Yes, there are 890 updates actually. That means the data is already migrated to there. Let me do one more query here to showcase that. I'm connected to I don't know, it's a little confusing here. Well, let me do
So you have employee key one, whose base rate is
19, and I want to make sure that this is being impacted here as well.
Yeah, so let's look at employee key one again.
Yep.
Well, it changed from 11 to 14.
11 to 14. I think it is updated the first set of updates.
Yes. So
now
maybe
it is waiting
maybe
for
still
the
going
set of
through
updates.
The second set
so
of
too
updates.
Many updates that I performed at the same time. So we'll see.
Well, you've been raising too much.
Yeah. But you can keep track of those updates and inserts and what are the different transactions that are happening continuously here. And when you're ready, you can do a start cutover. At this point, you will tell your applications to stop connecting to the source databases and you do a cutover here. Once you do the cutover here, these are the different activities that we perform on behalf of you. Will drain the final transaction set of transactions and it will apply into the target and it will mark your target databases that the migration is complete so that you can change your connection string. At that point, you can start using your the target databases. So at that point, I think I'm going to do one more refresh here. It's going to take some time, but I'm not too much worried about that because anyway, we saw at least one update is reflected, right?
Yeah, so, you need to give me some time for my demo.
Yep, sounds good.
Question.
So the question is, if I you can come to the mic though if you want, actually. I don't know if that mic works or not. But. Okay, so the question is, if I establish a full load and then I stop it, and then if I come back the next day, and if I, can I resume that migration? Today, no. Today, what will happen is if you stop your migration, right, you, in order to continue that migration, you have to restart the full load again. But if you keep that in a continuous mode, then all these transactions will keep on applying it. But if you stop the migration, it will stop. You have to do this migration again from the full load itself. Okay, so for the sake of time, we got.
Well, I'll take one more question and then I'll start.
Good question. Yes. So today we support, the question is, do we support migrations from RDS to the Azure SQL DB? Yes. So we have support from clouds such as the AWS RDS and GCP as well. For the Google Cloud Provider. So if you have any of those databases, you know, hosted on either it could be RDS or it could be just EC2 when it comes to AWS. Or if the VM which is running on GCP, you can migrate from on-premises from those cloud environments to Azure SQL DB and as well as managed instance.
So we have a blog that covers migration from EC2 to
same service. Yes.
What about data warehouse,
the support will come when I go to the roadmap. I'll talk about that. I have a slide for the roadmap.
So data warehouse support is not there today, but will be there eventually.
Yep. Okay. So. Now, to talk about heterogeneous migration. So far, we only saw homogeneous migrations from SQL Server to Azure platform. Now, I want Shamik to take over as to.
Yes, so I don't have a lot of time, but in a nutshell, heterogeneous migrations are not straightforward because you're migrating from a relational database A to relational database B. Syntaxes might be different. Constructs might be different. So essentially, you really have to convert the schema before you really move forward. When I say schema does not really mean just the tables and the definitions. It also means procedures, triggers, functions, views, and everything that are contained in that schema. So since 2007, Microsoft has been building a tool called SQL Server Migration Assistant that supports migrations from Oracle, SAP AAC, which was earlier called Sybase, MySQL DB2, and it also supports migrations from our own platform, which is Microsoft Access, over to SQL Server. For the Oracle scenario specifically, we also support migrations from Oracle on-premises Exadata to SQL Data Warehouse as well, if you really want to do those migrations. So without any further pause, I will just take you quickly over to SSMA.
So 6.8, right? Yeah,
it's already on 8.
Okay.
So the first step would be to launch SSMA. We are on version 7.8 right now. And the first thing you would do is you would create a new project. You would give it a name. And then you would say migrate to, let's say, SQL Server 2016. Now, this SSMA is very specific to SSMA for Oracle. We have 5 different offerings for Oracle, Sybase, DB2 MySQL. So you create a project. And the first thing you would do is connect to Oracle. And then you would connect to SQL Server. Now, I've already connected to an Oracle and SQL Server, and an instance I've already opened up. And these are all local instances, by the way. So I have an HR database that's already connected. And this is from Oracle. It has a few sequences. Let me zoom in so that I could see. It has a few sequences. It has about 7 tables, a few views, and about 2 procedures. And this is a very standard database that comes with the Oracle environment. And then I connected to MySQL Server instance. Now, MySQL Server instance here is local. If you notice, it just has a target database, and the target database does not have any tables in it. The first step of doing the SSMA conversion would be you choose that HR database, you right-click on it, and hit Convert Schema. And as it's converting the schema, it's going through every object and trying to find out what is the equivalent translation from PLSQL to TSQL in SQL Server. Yes, I would want to run those. And let me look at procedures. So let's say I have a procedure, add job history. If you look at the final output, it will show you that this is how the procedure was written in Oracle, and this is the exact conversion of that procedure in SQL Server. Now, there are a few things that show up as warning. For example, things like conversion from number data type can cause data loss. Number has a very high precision in Oracle. We don't have an exact equivalent in SQL Server, so we convert it from the number data type to float 53, which is our highest precision. So a DBA would have to take a look at the data to be absolutely sure that there is no data loss. And these are limitations between a target and a source that have to be taken into account. Similarly, you will have table statements that will show you what it could convert and what it could not convert. If you go to SSMA directly, you should be able to see all of that in SSMA's native view. Now, before you do conversions of any sorts, we give you a bunch of options, which is you can do a type mapping, and you can do a type mapping of a type, a source type to a target type. You can do it at the argument level, at a column level, at a local variable level, at a return value level. At the table level, we give you other set of things. For example, SQL can support storage options, and this was specific to the fact that you can move a table, a raw table, as an in-memory optimized table in SQL Server. You can choose all those options inside this the SSMA interface. So basically, you can say, hey, move this table as a row store table, move this row store table with a non-cluster column store index, move this table with a cluster column store index, or a memory optimized table. All of those conversions, you can do it on the fly. It will preserve what is there on the source, but you can always move a flat table with no optimizations to the target using the tool today. So once I've converted, the thing that I would want to do is I would go to my SQL Server Metadata Explorer, which is right here, and I would say, why don't you synchronize this with my target? So I had synchronized with database. At this stage, it'll tell you that there was a schema HR, but it could not find a bunch of things like procedures, sequences, tables, or views on the target. And I hit OK. And at this stage, it has populated everything into the SQL Server. So earlier, I showed you there was nothing inside my SQL Server DB. I hit refresh on it, and I should be able to see tables. So my table view is populated. So the schema went there from Oracle to SQL Server. Now, I could obviously use this tool and also migrate data. But as I said, you're at the mercy of a tool running on a box that's going to use compute. We provided an option for you to actually upload this entire metadata to DMS so that you could resume your migration service migration from the DMS service. So if you notice, there's this little icon here that says Save Project to Cloud. And when I save project to cloud, it will give me the option to choose that schema and then save it to my DMS instance. Now, for all practical purposes, I have saved it already. So I'll just show you quickly the interface, and then we'll go to our DMS service. So it's enumerating all my subscriptions, enumerating all my DMS services. I would like to choose this staging data migration service run as R&D. Then I will choose a service. I think it's build demo. And I want to name this project, say, Raj Oracle, because I love Raj. And I hit OK.
You get your 30%.
Thank you. At this stage, this is my DMS service. You don't see any Raj project here. Let me hit refresh. And you see Raj Oracle right here that just got uploaded from my SSMA project on my client to DMS. I could do it both ways. Essentially, I could create a new migration project right from here and open this up in SSMA as well. So you could go both ways, because the tool is there for you to analyze the schema offline to make sure that things are fine before you push it off. We gave you the option to both use the on-prem tool to push that data to DMS, and from DMS too, you can pull that data into SSMA by creating a new migration project. Now, for my scenario, I did a SQL to SQL MI migration. And this is very different from my SQL on-prem to my Oracle on-prem that I just showed, Oracle to SQL on-prem that I just showed you. I created a project like this. And because I moved everything from SSMA, it remembers all source and target credentials. It exactly knows what I need to move. So I hit new activity, say run migration. And as you notice, it just picked everything from the SSMA project that was uploaded. I'm just keying in my password. Okay.
Oh, you chose my one, actually. It's not Oracle.
Oh, did I choose your?
Yeah.
I'm sorry.
Looks like you choose my project.
I am sorry.
Go back to your.
Let me go back to my Oracle project.
Yep.
There you go.
That's where you can see.
Thank you. I do new activity. I hit run migration. I say test migrate. And I would let this unpack the SSMA project that was uploaded. And I have 20 seconds.
We'll finish migration. Show you.
Let's finish migration, yep. Absolutely. Can you log on to the VM by?
Yeah, sure.
Because I want to show them the before and the after state.
Sure.
So here it picked up everything from my project. I only hit my password. I hit save. Then I get the target details blade because it has already picked that information up from my project. And let it validate that the connection is made. Then it already figured out that it had these tables that were to be moved from source to target, and I hit save. Before I hit migration, let me quickly switch over to Roger's laptop. Because I want to show you the before and after state of the database.
We have a mouse here.
Sorry. So this was the build HR database that I pushed. Let me do a count star from employees. Let me just do a select top 1,000. It doesn't have any rows in it. I've pushed the schema through. Now we'll come back to DMS. I will do run migration. And at this stage, it will start pushing that data over. So let's do a refresh. And I'm over time, so I'll take 10 seconds at the max for the data to show up. Let's hit refresh. Let's hit refresh up one more time. I think we have to give it some more time.
Yeah. Okay. I can see it already.
And then if I go back to Roger's machine, he was just doing a refresh on the target as well. It just pushed all the data over. Now, in the current state of DMS, it does not allow you to do a zero downtime or a minimal downtime migration from Oracle to SQL, but that is something that is covered in the roadmap. We will be doing that as well, so you could sync your Oracle source to the target. To your question, you had a DB2 instance. Oracle and MySQL today are in private preview, and we'll be adding DB2 later on. So it is not available today, but you could always use the SSMA for DB2 and do that migration if you want to, so using that tool.
To that point, we already on the roadmap slide, so kind of right segue. So we released our DMS service for general availability. So this is a framework that we released. So adding any new source and target pairs is going to be much easier for us. Once we did the fabric, the whole DMS fabric is already released for GA. We are going to add more source and target pairs very quickly to this service to begin with, right? Minimal downtime migrations that I showcased to you today is in private preview today. And then if you are really interested, let us know. We're going to sign you up into the private previews, and then we can work with you to do the private preview. Your feedback is pretty critical for us to really improve the experience of the services as well. And also we doing a bunch of other previews as well, from open source databases such as MySQL and Postgres to the Azure versions of Postgres and MySQL. Oracle is also in private preview. We're also doing the scale assessments, which means is if you have a data estate, we should be able to scan through entire data estate and then give the relative readiness of those databases to the cloud. We also going to plan to recommend you the optimal target platform when it comes to SQL DB versus SQL MI versus SQL VM, and also provide the actual sizing recommendations as well for those targets. And then Azure Migrate, I'm not sure how many people really attended those sessions as well in build, where if you want to really migrate your applications, we only talked about the databases migrations in this session, but we also have another service called Azure Migrate, which really helps you to migrate your apps, which are running in your virtual machines and physical machines to Azure VMs as well.
So I would suggest you guys take a look at that because that allows you to discover databases across your data estate. Not only does it do discovery, but can also actually find out dependencies between your applications. So if application foo was to connect to two web servers, one database, a file share somewhere, it's going to build out a service map for you. And you can group them together and decide what you want to do with it. Move all of it to the cloud, and then use our services to move databases using database migration service, Azure Site Recovery or Azure Migrate to move the VMs over to Azure, and so on and so forth. So we're still building that whole roadmap out where various properties inside of Azure, some that do infrastructure migration, some that do app migration, us who do database migration to come all together under one single umbrella for you guys to have a seamless experience end to end. But this is just the start.
To the end, we talked about the how to migrate the very large databases using the Azure Databox integration we talked about briefly. That whole experience is going to be integrated into the DMS, into our service, so that there is a single place for you to go and then, you know, do the enable those very large DB migrations as well with the database and Databox integration, which is coming pretty soon as well. And then we're going to start adding support for Cosmos DB and migrating from the legacy platforms such as DB2 and Sybase to cloud as well.
And this is inside of DMS. We already do DB2 and SAP AIC using SSMA today. We will take questions now. Please.
Yeah, very good. So question is for the other audience is there any way that we can tell migrate all tables rather than, you know, doing the table map definitions? Yes, that today we can't, but that's the request is coming from a lot of customers. That's something that we're going to be working on that as well.
So the default mode for those would be all tables if you don't suggest a table map. Today, we didn't do that, but we're going to do that in the coming versions of our SDK.
So if you have any feedback, right, we have the user-wise site is set up for specifically for Azure Database Migration Service. So you can go to Azure Database Migration Service user-wise, and you can provide your feedback. Other users are also who can see benefit out of that feedback. They can also vote for it. So that really helps us to prioritize some of these requests that are coming from your support.
Well, some of the roadmap is already committed today, but you might also ask questions as app developers would be, is what if there's embedded application database code inside my application, dynamic PL/SQL or dynamic T/SQL coming from Oracle, Sybase, DB2, what do you do about that? Because it'll be a pain to figure out all of that. So we are working on it. It is not committed in the roadmap for now, but over time you would see things where you could do an application code discovery, if you own the source code, of course, to be able to look through places where you have embedded PL/SQL, and then SSMA would be able to actually convert those in line and provide your recommendations.
Thank you so much. So please complete the evaluation, so it will really help us to improve our quality of the presentation and as well as our tool sets. Thank you so much for your time. I know we kind of exceeded 5 minutes.
Yeah, but thank you for coming. It was the last day. We're happy that you probably had a great time here. So thanks for coming here at Microsoft.
Thanks.